Chapter 1. Introduction. So you've decided that you want to start a martial arts school. Congratulations. Teaching martial arts is fun and exciting, and it provides an important service to communities. At first glance, it may seem like starting a martial arts school would be simple, but there's more to it than you might think. Doing some planning and thinking ahead about your martial arts school will help you keep things organized as you make your way through the process. The idea of starting a martial arts school may sound like a lot of fun, but there's a lot of work involved too. The business side of martial arts can take a lot of time, and you need to be prepared to deal with this aspect of your business. Whether you're starting a small school or a big school, you still need to contend with things like marketing and bookkeeping. Don't underestimate the amount of time these things will take. It's better to factor in the time you're going to need to spend on these activities rather than be overwhelmed by it later. Making it profitable and having fun. One of the important things you'll need to think about when you decide to start working toward opening a martial arts school is how your martial arts style will fit into the community or the surrounding neighborhood. If you're teaching a grappling sport, will be viewed as complementary or competition with local school wrestling programs, for example. If you're planning to teach Kung Fu or Aikido, do you intend to allow young students to join in, or will these classes primarily focus on adults? These questions are important because if you're hoping to turn a profit with your martial arts school, you may have to make different choices about the way you set things up to actually accomplish those goals. Some communities will be more likely to enroll very young students under the age of 6 years, while other communities will be more apt to enroll kids 7 years old and up, or adults. Though teens often do really well in martial arts, it's rare for teen students to stick to martial arts classes for very long unless parents are extremely supportive. If you're in a bigger city, it's likely that you'll end up with a mix of different people in different age groups, but in smaller towns, you may find that you have 20 young kids in a class and only 2 people over age 7 to work with, or vice versa. If you have a dream of teaching people cool moves while making extra cash, you could be disappointed if all your students are under 6 years of age. You'll need to adjust your expectations to work with the people who end up coming to you for instruction. Be ready for anything. When you teach martial arts, you never know who's going to show up for each night of class. Some nights you may have a full room, while other nights the crickets might be chirping. You're going to need to be able to get up in front of big and small groups and teach your martial arts without flinching. When you have small classes, you can spend your time working one-on-one with students. When you have big classes, you can work off the large group dynamic to make it fun and challenging. Though it would be most satisfying to have a large group of committed students who would work on the material regularly at home and progress quickly through the ranks, often it takes time to find truly committed students. Sometimes these students will be the ones you least expected to stick to your classes. This is why you need to be ready for anything when you start a martial arts school. Make goals. As you're beginning the planning phase for your martial arts school, you'll want to make goals to help guide you through the ups and downs of finding a location, setting things up, marketing, and waiting for students to arrive for class. It's important as a martial arts instructor that you're always trying to help your students surpass you in skill and knowledge. Always strive to be the best martial artist that you can be, but don't be intimidated by the idea that one of your students could become better than you are at your own art. Think about taking pleasure in your students' accomplishments and recognizing them rather than trying to show a classroom full of people that you're the best. The most practical aspect of the martial arts is its functionality in self-defense situations. However, many martial arts schools focus more on competition than on street-style self-defense. You'll need to decide what your goals are for your students in order to steer them in the right direction. Sometimes competition is instructive, but rarely does it truly represent actual self-defense scenarios. Having goals that are focused on winning competitions means that you're going to be training your students hard, doing conditioning, and probably requiring them to attend class more than once a week. In contrast, martial arts that focus on self-defense tend to focus less on conditioning and more on pragmatics. Getting started. It's easy to think about starting a martial arts school, but there's a lot involved in actually doing it. If you're ready to get started, then you'll need a notebook and pen to keep things organized as you put together the materials you need to make it happen. It's usually best to open a martial arts school in the spring or in the fall because people tend to enroll more frequently during these times. Though you'll still have new students who start martial arts classes in midsummer or winter, hopefully, people often get busy or have trouble making it to classes due to inclement weather during these times. So set your sights on opening your martial arts school sometime in the spring or fall. You're ready to get going and start putting things in order for your new martial arts school. Chapter 2. Planning. Martial arts as a business. Unless you plan to teach martial arts for free or as a form of charity, you're going to need to think about your school as a business. The business side is very different from the creative side of martial arts. If you're not a big fan of the business side of things, you may struggle with some aspects of your martial arts school. But if you like business okay and you're willing to deal with the business side of things in order to make a little bit of profit on your school, this is the part you need to look at first. Sit down and think about your school. How much money do you think you'll make per student? How much rent are you willing to pay? Is there a lot of overhead involved? Is it even feasible for you to afford to open this business after you add up the expenses that will be involved? It's important to be realistic. Could you teach a class if you don't have the right type of mats? What if you have to move from one space to another space each week? Depending on where you're located and what types of resources are available to you, you may have to adjust your expectations. Create a hypothetical situation just to see how it actually works out on paper. Begin by guessing at how much you'll have to pay in rent for a suitable space for your martial arts school. Then guess how many students you might be able to get in the community where you intend to teach class. Be conservative. Next, think about how much you would like to charge per student. Multiply your conservative guess about the number of students with the amount you intend to charge per student. Is it more than the amount you expect to pay in rent? Now, subtract your hypothetical rent from the total amount of money you expect to make off of students. This money represents profits, but you haven't paid for mats, insurance, or any other items for your martial arts school yet. Before we consider the overhead involved in your martial arts school, simply take the number that you got from subtracting the rent from your gross profits and divide it by the number of hours you expect to be spending teaching, marketing, doing bookkeeping, answering the phone inquiries about your school, developing a curriculum, and cleaning. Is it an acceptable amount of money to you? Perhaps you love martial arts and you don't care about making only $3 per hour, but you need to be realistic if you came up with a number at the end of your calculations that equals less than you're willing to work for. Perhaps you need to consider setting up a martial arts school in a populated location nearby if you believe that you won't be able to get enough students to justify teaching classes in the location you originally had in mind. Just because the numbers don't add up the way you want them to doesn't mean that you won't be shocked with more students than you could have imagined. Perhaps you'll find a remarkably cheap or a free place to use for your classes. This changes your hourly rate of pay as well, but remember, you're still going to need to buy props and teaching aids for your martial arts school, and these things will take money off your bottom line. On the flip side, if the numbers that you are crunching in your hypothetical scenario are above and beyond what you normally get paid, don't get too excited. You still need to buy props like punching bags or dummies for your school. There are almost always essentials that you need to have in order to conduct a quality class. Though some martial arts like Tai Chi don't require a lot of extra stuff to effectively teach a class, you may still want your students to wear special uniforms. That means that you'll have to be able to either cover the cost for the uniforms up front or order the uniforms after students have paid the fee. Basically, you'll need to be able to see that you can pay rent easily for space to teach your class. You need to be comfortable with the amount of money you expect to be making when your projections are conservative. And you need to be able to see how you could afford buying the necessary props and materials that you'll need to teach your classes off of the profits that you'll be making from the students. Remember, you'll need to pay for marketing for your school in order for it to be successful, and if you don't have much money to work with in the paradigm that you added up, then you may not be able to make a martial arts school work at the location where you originally planned to have one. Remember, at this stage, you are working strictly with projections. The amount of money it costs to rent in your area may be much more or much less than you're expecting. The amount of money you can actually charge students may be also unrealistic. You'll be doing research on these things over the weeks prior to opening your martial arts school. It's important to not get bamboozled by your own enthusiasm for starting a martial arts school and realize that if the numbers don't add up, that you may need to adjust your plan to make the business side of martial arts jive with the fun and creative side of the endeavor. Martial arts as an art. If you've come up with business projections that are acceptable for your martial arts school, and you've decided to forge ahead with the project, then you may want to spend some time thinking carefully about what you think you need versus what you think you want in a space. This may seem superfluous and unnecessary, but if you think a little bit about what you expect to find as a space for your martial arts school, it may be difficult to recognize when you actually see it. Certainly, if you've decided that you're ready to start a martial arts school, you probably have thought a lot about teaching classes. You probably have certain instructional situations that you've played out in your mind. Perhaps you've only pictured your martial arts school as a place that looks exactly like the school where you were instructed. Or perhaps you have a vision for your school that you know is completely unrealistic. If you take the time to picture yourself actually teaching a class and going through the motions, you're going to be able to identify the characteristics that you need in a space as well as the characteristics you want. You may need to start out in a space that's less than what you've dreamed of, and being able to identify whether the space minimally meets your needs will be really important as you're shopping around. Perhaps you have a vision of your martial arts school that's completely innovative. Perhaps you've decided that a particular aspect of your martial art is something that you're going to try to focus on the most with students. Do you need a particular set of props to accomplish this goal? Do you need a particular amount of space to make it happen? The way that you approach your martial art will determine the type of space that you need and how much you're going to have to spend on props. Developing a vision is a really important first step in the process of starting a martial art school. Your vision may or may not be in tune with the business side of setting up your martial art school, but as you navigate through the tasks in the upcoming chapters, you'll find out more about how the business and your vision actually mesh together. Begin by developing an idea about how you want your martial arts classes to look and feel, but don't forget to take your financial projections into account as well. If your number crunching revealed some serious financial problems with your martial arts school, don't give up yet. You'll be able to realistically predict how much money you could make off of your classes each month after you do the research recommended in the upcoming chapters. Chapter 3. Space, time, and overhead. So you've developed a strong and optimistic vision for your martial arts school. You know what you absolutely need and what you'd like to have in terms of space and teaching materials. You're ready to start looking for a location for your martial arts school now and learning more about the cost of rent for the facility. Finding a location. The cost of rent or of purchasing a location for your martial arts school is perhaps the most expensive thing that you'll have to think about spending money on each month to keep your classes going. This is why it's important to do this step first. If the cost of rent in your location is exorbitantly high, you may decide that starting a martial arts school is beyond your comfort threshold for now. On the other hand, even if traditional rental locations are out of the question, you may be able to find a place to teach small classes in a church basement or a school auditorium. Temporary locations. It's important to be creative when you're looking for a location to get your martial arts school started. If you've never taught martial arts before, it can be helpful to start out in a temporary location like a church basement or a school classroom to get started and learn more about what you actually do need. Further, by starting a martial arts school in a temporary location with cheaper rent, or perhaps no rent at all, you're going to be able to build up your student base and get a more realistic idea of how many students you can have in a particular location. This can help you find a facility to rent that will be in line with your actual needs, neither overextending your budget nor underestimating your space requirements. If you did a search for traditional locations for your martial arts school and didn't turn up anything affordable that you would be comfortable leasing, then start thinking about temporary locations. Temporary locations can be community centers, church basements or fellowship halls, recreation centers and school classrooms or auditoriums. You may be able to take up residence temporarily at a gymnastics school if you're willing to work around their class time. Or perhaps you could share rent with another martial arts school that's already in town. Dance schools or yoga schools may be able to offer you some space for your classes to get them started as well. Temporary locations are such a great place to start because there's little commitment. If you do your marketing and don't get much of a response, you're probably not going to have to pay rent for a year on a facility that you can hardly afford. Temporary spaces force you to be creative and work with what you've got, which is perhaps the best way to really gain an understanding of what you really need when you go out shopping for a permanent location. Don't be daunted by the idea of soliciting schools or churches for space to start your martial art classes. If you can find space in a temporary location to get yourself started, this is a great way to get an idea of how the community is going to respond to classes and what kind of permanent space you'll need when the time comes. Often when you teach classes in places like community centers or church basements, you have to set up and then clean up your gear each week. Though you may be saving money by using a temporary location where you have to set up and tear down each week, you'll need to think about the extra time you spend doing these activities when you consider your bottom line. If it takes you an hour each week to set up, it may be worth it for you to just go for it and rent a slightly more expensive permanent location. But if saving a few bucks is really important to you to diminish your financial risk, then use a temporary location if at all possible. Renting a temporary location when you're first starting classes can make it a lot easier for you to buy things like mats and bags when you have extra profits to work with. If you rent out a permanent location that costs more, it may be difficult at times to afford all of the extra stuff like mats when you have high rent that comes due each month. Temporary locations have the advantage of allowing you to learn about where the interest is in your martial art. Are there people traveling from outside the community to learn martial arts? Do all of your students come from a particular area? By learning about where your students are coming from, when it's time to get a permanent location, you'll know where the best place would be to best serve your students. Permanent locations. Permanent locations usually cost more and require a signed contract and a time commitment, but if you plan to get a permanent location for your martial arts school, you're probably also going to need a whole host of other items to complete the package right out of the gate. When you open a storefront or rent a facility, you may be able to just as is without mats or bags or other props until you've made enough of a profit to afford these things. But if the permanent facility that you rent is not amenable to martial arts without a little bit of fixing up, then you'll have the rent plus the cost of materials to think about as you're getting your classes up off the ground. In a permanent location, it's likely that you're going to have to pay the cost of heating and cooling the location. This can be quite a chunk of money when you're in a fairly large space. When you're researching the rental cost of permanent locations, inquire about the costs of heating and cooling each of these places and factor this cost into your bottom line. If you're renting a facility for your martial arts school, you'll want to make sure that you've got an excellent, accessible location. Your martial arts school should have parking available for students. It should be easy to see and easy to find. Ideally, a permanent location for a martial arts school should be a main drag and should be visible to people driving or walking by. If you can find a permanent location that can do a little bit of marketing for you, while it also functions as your workout space, this is ideal. Research both temporary and permanent locations when you're trying to find the best place for your martial arts school. By researching all the possibilities, you'll know what's available and you'll be better able to see which options are the most amenable to your budget and your ideals. Creating a class schedule. Once you've narrowed down some options for class space, it's time to think more carefully about class time. How many nights a week do you plan to teach class? When do you plan to start your classes, in the afternoon or evening hours? You should begin looking at a class schedule after you do research on class locations, because often temporary class locations will come with time schedules built in. For example, you probably wouldn't be able to conduct your martial arts classes on a Sunday morning in a church basement. If you had originally planned to do Sunday morning martial arts classes, the church basement may not be an option as a potential location for your classes. By starting with research about locations, you can see which locations have a schedule that will work with yours and which ones don't. It may seem like the best approach to teaching martial arts classes is to create a schedule that gives students lots of options each week. But unless you're designing a big city martial arts school, it would be best to start out small. Have classes one night of the week. Then as your classes fill up, you can have classes on the other nights of the week as well. The problem with creating a schedule with 3 to 6 nights of the week when you first start your school is that you may be getting yourself into a situation where you have to show up every night, but only one student comes each night of the week. That means you have to stay and teach private classes each night. Typically, if the students want to learn martial arts, they'll figure out a way to work it into their schedule. Some students just won't be able to, and that's okay too. If you have 3 students show up for a 1-hour class on Thursday night, you make more money per hour than if you have 1 student show up for class on Monday, 1 other student on Tuesday, and still another student on Thursday. If you're trying to create a martial arts school as a business, then this is something you need to look at closely when you develop a schedule. If you're in a small community, open your classes for 1 or 2 nights of the week and see how many students show up. If your classes are overflowing, that's great. Give it a month or so before you transition to another night of the week or find a bigger space. People don't often stick to martial arts classes for more than a month, and around the time you add another night of the week, it's very possible that half your students will be gone anyway. There will probably be some new ones to take their place. When you sit down to come up with a schedule, be conservative. Have some faith that students will be willing to come to your classes even if they're only on 1 night of the week. Most martial arts classes last about 1 hour, and it may pay at first to have classes that are shorter rather than longer. It's easier to conduct shorter classes when you're first starting out as a martial arts instructor. People aren't familiar with the 1-hour scheduling paradigm and won't necessarily be willing to pay more even if you have longer classes. Start out with 1-hour classes and allow yourself 15 minutes between classes if you don't have an assistant to help you with things like fitting uniforms or signing waivers. The 15 minutes between 1-hour classes is extremely important when you have new students show up to your class who need a uniform and a little bit of help figuring out what to do on their first night. You'll use those 15 minutes to have people sign legal documents, collect payments, and sell your classes to new students who show up to give them a try. Finally, if you're planning to do classes for 2 different groups of people, like kids and adults or men and women, you'll need to set aside time in your schedule for both. Obviously, when you set aside class times for 2 different groups of people, you're running the risk of having one group be remarkably bigger than the other. Plan to move the schedule around a bit as you get a better idea of who the people are in your community who are interested in classes and how much time you need to set aside for each group of people. Don't create 3 different classes for little kids unless you know already that a lot of little kids are going to show up. For example, don't create a class for 3 to 4-year-olds, a class for 5 to 6-year-olds, and a class for 7 to 8-year-olds unless you know you've got plenty of kids for each class. Instead, group them all together, and then later on, if a group of 3 or 4-year-olds, for example, become big enough, start a special class designed just for them. Buying mats and bags. Every martial art is different. The tools that you need to teach jiu-jitsu classes effectively will be different than the tools you need to teach taekwondo. It can be easy to get caught up in buying mats and bags for your classes and forget to take heed of your bottom line. It's good business to only buy materials for your class if you have enough money to afford the supplies. Again, unless your martial arts school is located in a big city and you need to take out a loan to get your martial arts school on par with most competitive schools in the area, it's best to play things conservative and only buy the supplies that you need when you can afford them. you'll probably want to set up a wholesale account with a martial arts supplier. Wholesale accounts allow you to buy things like uniforms much more cheaply than you would have to purchase for them at retail prices. Wholesalers differ in terms of how they treat you when you order supplies. Some wholesalers may take a long time to deliver their products to you. Some simply get the order wrong and ship you the incorrect set of items. Expect to try several wholesalers before you find the right one for your martial arts school. Although it may pay to order the very best, highest quality mats for your martial arts school if you're trying to be super competitive with other martial arts school in highly populated areas, those in a smaller community should think conservatively about things like mats. It's possible to get some very respectable mats for your martial arts school on eBay or from Sam's Club. They may not be the mats that you dreamed of in your vision for your martial arts school, but if they fit into your budget and you're able to get them sooner than later as a result, that may be a desirable option. You can always